Welcome to the Amazon Legends Podcast, where we have real stories about making it big on Amazon. Our guests are CEOs of large companies and entrepreneurs who became powerful sellers, also experts specializing in helping sellers, and both former and current Amazon employees who will give us an insight from behind the scenes. Here's your host, Nick Urison.
Welcome to another episode of Amazon Legends. You are going to love today's guest because he's going to give us all the inside secrets. Plus, he's very funny. And when we first met, it was a blast. So I'm looking forward to this one. So he's a digital marketing veteran, spending over two decades on both sides of the pond in the US and in the UK. And he's currently the senior product marketing manager at Helium 10. He's the inventor of the ad platform, PPC management platform, Atomic. It's his baby. He's very passionate about it. And I asked him, you know, why isn't Helium 10 in your background? And he said, no, it's Atomic. It's my baby. That's what I want to talk about. He's all about PPC. You're going to learn all the secrets, everything that you need in order to be successful on PPC. And when he's not working, he's also a singer, not in the shower, but really real gigs, and also a Dragon Boat enthusiast. So we're going to learn all about Dragon Boat and a hiker. So with that, everybody, meet my guest, Vince Montero. Welcome to the show, Vince.
How's it going, Nick?
It's great to have you here. I can't wait to get this going.
It's good to be here.
So you're going to share something that's not available through Seller Central.
Right.
And you'll tell us all about what it is and how to take advantage of it. So what is that?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, primarily, like, long story short, day parting is what I wanted to share.
So first of all, tell us what day parting is. What's the definition of it? Let's start with that.
Yeah, so day parting is just another lever that you can use to manage your PPC campaigns. It is, historically speaking, it's looking at some data points and then trying to figure out what times of the day your campaigns might not be performing at their best, right? And then maybe doing some changes that could be pausing keywords, lowering bids, pausing campaigns, in order to affect that that spend during that time of the day. So that's why you call it day parting. But the thing that I wanted to share is that technically it's brand new, because this is a feature that Amazon literally just launched and announced really at the Amazon conference I was just at 2 weeks ago in New York, called Unboxed. So it's lots of interesting stuff.
So I've heard that if you stop and start and stop and start campaigns, it actually hurts your performance.
You know, there's different sides to that. I definitely feel like for newer campaigns, like for newer products, yeah, you could be sending signals to Amazon that might be not as beneficial. But that's why, even with this new feature that I want to talk about, it's always just about testing and iterating and seeing, you know, checking the full result. The interesting thing, though, that's new is that really Amazon just launched this feature called Marketing Stream, or just Stream. So really, we've only had access to this hourly data. It's hourly analytics that they launched. We've only had access to it for the past couple of months, right? So although day parting is a feature that's almost common in a lot of different tools, it's mostly been done by guessing. I assume my product isn't going to convert well at 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. So, or maybe it doesn't sell well on the weekend, so I'm going to make some adjustments on the weekend. So the cool thing and the interesting thing that was shared with us is that, no, we actually can see the data points now from Amazon, right? So this is, and this, to your point earlier, this isn't something that you can get in the Amazon Ads console, right? This is something on Seller Central. This is really only something that you can get by working with a third party, a software provider like myself, an agency. So that's what is the newness about it, is that instead of just guessing, No, we actually have the hourly data now that our sellers can look at and then make decisions based on that data.
Okay. So is this actionable in the sense that, is it a case of you looking at the data and then mm-hmm. making your own conclusions and then mm-hmm. going back and then manually making those adjustments? Or is it a setting that you can set up and then it self-adjusts based on what's going on?
It's both. We're giving the visibility. So in Atomic, we've taken advantage of this new feature through the Amazon Ads API. So we are now getting that hourly data for all of our users. So they have the ability to visually just pull up a campaign or look at their entire account if they wanted to, and just look at a time period. We suggest 60 days because what we're looking for here really is trends. You know, mm-hmm. when you talk about a feature like this, it's really the longer data set you have, the better, right? If you have 90 days worth of data, then you can really actually see trends. If you only look at like the past week, that's not sufficient. In general, looking at smaller sets of data isn't a very good idea. So even when talking about this feature, it's when we launched our version of it at our Sale and Scale summit at the end of September, you know, we had already been collecting data for 60 days. So we were able to show the seller that logged in, hey, at a campaign level or at the entire account level, they could just see what's the trends. When is ACoS highest? You know, which day, which hour during the day? So that's the visibility is there for read only. But we also launched something really interesting called schedules. And so what schedules is, basically you can set up a rule to look at the data and based on the time frames and the days, just plug that into our schedules feature and it will create an automated system where our tool will pause and unpause the campaign for whatever period that you created. So it's read only, but in our tool, there's also the layer of being able to take an action on that data.
I see. So obviously data, you know, I always say data is great. We live in the age of big data. Yep. Big data means a lot of data coming from all kinds of sources, but really there is no... I actually attended a big data conference. And in that big data conference, one of the takeaways I had was one of the speakers said, one of the large consulting firms did a study mm-hmm. on what is the return on anything related to big data. And they said that they saw for every dollar spent in POC projects, mm-hmm. for big data, they saw a return of 79 cents.
Oh, really?
For every dollar spent on anything to do with data, yeah. they saw a return of 79 cents. In other words, direct loss.
Direct loss.
However, if you use multiple sources of data, mm-hmm. and then you have a way to turn that data into actionable data,
right?
Then the commercial value goes through the roof.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% believe in that. And that's what we're trying to do here is not only give visibility. There's lots of different features within Atomic that gives visibility that's, you know, kind of read only. Like we have the ability to show the seller organic and sponsored ranking too, because I'm really big on looking at things holistically and organically. But, you know, this particular feature, you know, if you can clearly see, again, looking at a larger data set, if you can clearly see that, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning to 7 a.m., you have really high spend in those sales. Okay, as long as that holds true for 60 days, 90 days, then that's something you can fairly confidently take an action on. And then, you know, test. Did that change, you know, did that schedule, turning that campaign off during that time period, you know, what was the net effect? And if the net effect is lower spend, better ACoS, then it's done its job. But again, it's always not for me, it's always and how I train. And even for this feature, what I'm telling sellers is, you know, only do this for your really bad performing campaigns. You know, don't try to nitpick your stuff that's doing well. Like this really is a feature for trimming down waste, you know? And so as long as it's leveraged just for that, I feel like, you know, people can will get a good performance out of it. And then, you know, if they check and they don't get good performance out of it, it's something that they can just undo. So, but yeah, it's interesting. It's depending on, you know, again, when this releases, but you know, it's not just the unpause and pause. Like, we're going to be building in other features, like, you know, the budget, increasing, decreasing the budget, maybe during the time of the day. And then maybe even a layer deeper and saying the keyword bids. Okay, well, maybe instead of the budget or maybe pause on pause, we're adjusting the bids up and down during maybe, you know, less than peak performance times. So it's very interesting to see what's going to be coming from this in the next couple of months. And yeah, it's definitely something that we're excited about, including in Atomic.
So I'm watching the timer here. In like 45 seconds, you said quite a few things that are so valuable.
Yeah,
you don't. You see, that's why, you know, my job is to see what is being said. You know, that is dissect and then try to, because I want to make sure that people get it, because you and I have been living and breathing this thing.
Sure.
So a lot of things come very natural.
Yeah.
So for the listeners' benefit, I want to just repeat a few of the things that you said. First of all, day partying is not for good performing campaigns. It's for bad performing campaigns. It's for cutting out the fat.
Correct.
So don't go messing with your campaigns that are doing good ACOS.
Right.
Don't touch them.
Don't touch them.
Instead, look at the ones that are not doing so well.
Correct.
And take out the bad stuff. Okay,
yep.
That's one. The second thing that I heard you mention is, how do you then take out? Do not go necessarily posing the campaign.
Sure.
Because that may hurt you. Instead, adjust the budget. Maybe lower the budget during the time slot that the campaign is, you've identified from the data that the campaign does not perform well, and then adjust the budget down. Another thing that you mentioned is perhaps not necessarily, maybe within that time frame, some of the keywords are doing okay, but some keywords are not.
Right.
Then don't adjust the budget, adjust the bids on the keywords by lowering the bids. Then it's not, you're not going to show up anyway. At the same time, so the campaign is still active.
Correct.
Right. And then at the same time, you're letting go of those keywords that don't do well.
Right.
And that way you save the money.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then hopefully the goal is that, you know, those keywords stay on. Maybe the keywords perform better at a different time of the day. You know, that is the beauty of what we're eventually going to be able to drill down into, you know, Stream, which is this new feature from Amazon. That's pretty exciting.
So this is so powerful, because what you can do then is you can pick out. So again, you and I will dig into this just in a few minutes. But you, assuming that you've done your homework, you've used, you know, I use Helium 10, of course, with my clients all the time. We pick the keywords. I tell you what made it so time-saving for me is that it's such a simple thing. But it makes life so easy. That link that you added for top keywords and opportunity keywords, all it does is just pre-populates the filters in Cerebro. So you've done your homework identifying your top keywords and your opportunity keywords, and you built your content around it. You put your infographics, your bullets and A+, everything centers around. So as long as you've done those, now you're running the PPC campaign.
Right.
So with this new addition that you guys are offering, you can literally tailor make a campaign down to the hourly performance of the campaign for those
based on data,
cutting out the fat, totally honing in on ROI.
Yeah, exactly. This is going to be a lot of the features within our tools, like Atomic, are based on 24-hour buckets of time, because that's what we used to get from Amazon. We would call, we would do what's called an API call. We get 24 hours. So we were always filling in 24 hours in the past. Now we're getting hourly data. So it's not only going to help us to, from the recommendations perspective, because, you know, part of the thing that our tool does is give recommendations on your bids. up, down, you know, typically based on an ACoS or whatever goal the seller might have. Maybe it's impressions, maybe it's purely sales, but it's going to fine tune that even. It's going to fine tune the recommendations that we're providing, because now we're getting up to the minute, you know, recommendations versus these 24-hour buckets. So that is something that we're looking forward to ingesting as well, to help to fine tune the things that we're doing behind the scenes, really, for the sellers. And they're going to be able to take advantage of better suggestions or recommendations and things. But yeah, to your point, it's really about, like what you said is so true with PPC. Sometimes, and you absolutely should do PPC research, and you absolutely should do your keyword research, and then, you know, implement PPC. But you could do the best research in the world, and sometimes the keywords just don't work. You know, sometimes it just happens. They just don't work. So, you know, having the ability to be able to look at data in a broader time period, and then drilling down to its performance, you know, on an hourly basis, and then being able to make decisions on that once you see the data, is just going to be, I really feel it's going to help a lot of sellers, you know, in 2023 to save and to really fine tune how they're optimizing their campaigns even more.
Yeah. Now, especially this new feature Amazon released with search query performance,
mm-hmm.
Where you can see each search term, where the search term was used by shoppers. Mm-hmm. You showed up, you see the impressions, and then you see the click-through. Yeah. Then you see how many people added to cart and how many people purchased it.
Yeah.
So when you put that together with the PPC data, mm-hmm. and then you draw conclusions from that, now yeah. down to the hourly, you know,
yeah,
minute.
Exactly. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. You really, success doesn't matter. You could be selling anything. And with this, you can hone in on what's converting, what's not converting, and then what's performing.
Yeah. And you can also, I mean, there's lots of different strategies for PPC. What another, not to get too far off topic, but I kind of brought it up earlier, is, you know, I'm really kind of passionate about looking at your PPC holistically. And that means understanding that your PPC really, it's your marketing budget, right? It's your marketing budget for your product that you happen to be selling on Amazon. If you were running a brick and mortar store and you wanted people to come to your store, you're going to invest in a TV ad or a radio or a billboard, right? PPC is the same thing. It's just the vehicle that gets them to your store. And that's the same thing on Amazon. So what I like to do, I do a monthly training called Tacos Tuesday. And I actually just did it earlier today, since this is a Tuesday. And it's called Tacos Tuesday, not just because I love tacos, which I do, but it's the term total ACoS, you know, looking at not just your ACoS, what's your total ACoS? Yeah, sure, your PPC campaign has got this ACoS, but if your total ACoS is manageable, if it's low, and that, all that means is taking your total sales and dividing it by your PPC spend versus just your PPC spend, dividing it by, your PPC sales divided by your PPC spend. So if you add your organic and PPC sales, that's really kind of directionally where I wanted to go with Atomic, is really look at it holistically so that you can check this particular product has this ACoS, all the campaigns that it's running in, this is the ACoS. But at the product level, I know this is how many I sold organically. So, you know, what is that total ACoS number? And that is something that I really am excited about, especially as we're launching this, the ability to see your sponsored and organic rank. Like, you really want to be able to use different strategies for PPC. And I feel like just seeing, hey, is my PPC affecting my organic sales? That's one thing. That's which it should, hopefully. You know, we do have evidence that says if you do enough PPC sales on a certain keyword, it does help you ranking wise organically. Yeah. So we have that method of tracking that. But we also were looking at ways to create some kind of custom algorithms within our tool that maybe you're just running the PPC to increase your organic rank. Like, we're going to be implementing things like that to say, hey, just tell our tool this keyword or this set of keywords, I'm just trying to influence my organic rank. So And that's the algorithm. It'll build out.
Yeah. Pre-built algorithms.
Yeah. And it'll track because this is what a lot of sellers do right now. You know, they use a lot of, you know, Helium 10 has a full suite of tools. They do product research, the keyword research, the obviously PPC, and then keyword tracker. And keyword tracker is the tool that sellers are using to see where they're ranking, where are they ranking for certain keywords, sponsored and organic, right? So we have that tool over here, and then we have the PPC tool. And people typically run what's called ranking campaigns, right? So they're just running a PPC campaign just to see if they can influence that rank, right? So they're looking at Atomic and they have keyword tracker open too at the same time. And they're just checking back and forth. So my goal is, well, why don't we just build, you know, pull that data into Atomic, right? Which we've done. We actually have the data inside Atomic now. So it's there. It's read only.
Feedback loop, right? It's a feedback loop.
It has the potential to be a feedback loop, right? So if we have a seller that's running ranking specific type campaigns, they can just tell our tool, hey, keep increasing the bid on this particular keyword until I see that organic rank move, you know, or the sponsored rank move, right? That's exciting to me. And that's really taking that kind of holistic approach.
We can turn this whole thing into a brainstorming session. I have a lot of ideas.
I've been doing this since 2017, yeah, so I have a lot.
I just thought of several ideas, but I'll share them with you later. They can get dangerous. So this is my question to you. So before we started the episode, we had a quick chat, and we really wanted to. We wanted everybody to look at the big picture, and that's right. What you mentioned a few minutes ago, ACoS versus TACoS.
Yeah.
So, and again, for the listeners' benefit, you go spend a dollar in paid ads on Amazon.
Right.
And you are tracking in your advertising dashboard. Yeah. For every dollar, how much sales you generated, you can see that. So for say you spend a dollar and then you generated $2 in sales from those paid ads, that's called ACoS, advertising cost of sale. That means if you spend a dollar, generated $2, that's 50% ACoS,
right?
So that's what will be reported. So when you spend a dollar, you generate that $2 in by people clicking on sponsored ads or all your paid ads wherever they show up. Mm-hmm. But also, because you've now made a sale, you rank up, right? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. your sell through rate goes up,
right?
And therefore you rank up. When you rank up, you also get organic listings. So organic meaning people search something, they don't care about the sponsor. You showed up somewhere, they found you, they clicked on it, and they made a purchase.
Right. Yeah.
So out of those paid ads, because you increase your ranking, during the same time frame, you also generated $2 in sales. So now $2 from paid ads, $2 from your organic. Mm-hmm. You generated $4.
Right.
So you're, instead of getting just $2 in sales from that dollar spending, you're getting total $4 in sales.
Yeah.
So that's called the TACoS, right? Total advertising.
Total ACoS. That's correct.
And that's what you are saying. Keep your eye on the total.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, keep in mind, you know, when you're running PPC, your goal isn't PPC sales. Your goal is total sales, right?
Total sales.
So when you think about PPC from the perspective of, like I was saying, it's just your marketing budget. So all PPC is to make sure that your product is seen as many times as needed during a shopper's consideration cycle. So depending on the product, more expensive products have a longer consideration cycle than less expensive products, right? So especially if you have an expensive product, like, you want to be visible as many places as possible while the shopper is considering which product to buy. That means PPC. PPC is a really easy way to make sure that you appear for certain keywords. It doesn't matter if they clicked on it or not. I mean, if they clicked on it, great. Hopefully click on it and buy it. But the impressions are what's the valuable thing. The more and more times they see your product in the search results page, maybe they click on a different product, but they see your product again on that page. Some shoppers take a while to make a decision. So the more times they've seen your product, the more likelihood they are going to purchase your product. And hopefully it is on an organic search result. That's what I'm saying is like, we know that that connection is there. Amazon doesn't make it very clear. There's no through line to Amazon that says, hey, they saw your ad this time and then they clicked on it on this time organically. Like, they don't give that kind of information. But because we track so many metrics here, including the organic and sponsor rankings on keywords, and then we're running tests, and you can see, oh yeah, the more PPC sales I get, the more organic sales I get. And then I've literally seen shoppers or sellers, I should say, cut their PPC because they're doing so well organically, right? And then they cut their PPC. But what have they done? They've pulled themselves out of the consideration cycle now, right? And they're just relying on the organic. And what happens? They see their sales start to drop. But of course, because your marketing isn't there anymore. So one of the first things I came to Helium 10 and said that I wanted to build into a PPC tool was that visibility into the organic sales. And, you know, we launched that in the first iteration 2 years ago. So sellers that use our tool can go in our analytics section and there's a product tab and you can just see what your per product, because you can only see total sales by the product level, right? Because it's a product level metric. But you can look at all your products and you can see your PPC ACoS, but you can also see your tacos. And so what I teach is, even if your ACoS is bad, if your tacos is good, being, you know, 10%, maybe 15%, even under 20% for some people, depends on your margins, right? If you've got a really good tacos, you can keep throwing money at the PPC.
Yeah, who cares, right?
Not if waste.
Your ACoS is 15%, 10%, or 20%. But right. Frankly, if somebody is selling a product that doesn't leave 20% for advertising, mm-hmm. then what kind of pricing is that? Or what kind of cost are they achieving? Yeah. And it's the wrong product either way. So the revenue model is broken. So mm-hmm. I get a lot of clients, you know, they say, this is what we want to sell. And then I have this template. I plug them in. Everything is color coded. So it shows up on COGS and FBA. And Amazon commission, and everything has to turn green. But the most important one is the net profit.
Net profit.
Mm. For it to turn green, it needs to have 35% net margin. And then I say, you need this because you're going to spend about 15%, 15 to 20% on advertising. So that's the model. I have a golden question for you.
Okay.
Let's see. We can give us something. It's a very hard one to know specifically, but with your experience, I'm sure you have something. So for every paid click, mm-hmm. have you ever experienced some kind of a consistency in how many organic clicks you get?
No. So yeah, that's the kind of through line information that Amazon doesn't provide us. I'm
not asking Amazon, I'm asking you.
I'm saying we would need to be able to get that somehow in order to like put that into some kind of report. That would be gold, you know, right there. That's why I was saying before, I'm excited about just the ability to just, again, because we're tracking all these things and to make decisions based on the results of the keywords that we're tracking organically. I'm just excited about, because I know that will help a lot of people. Because like I was saying, a lot of people are.
This is very easy for you to do.
Yeah, I know. Well, see, I think that, and you think that, but we're not developers. I'm not a software developer, so I think things are easy sometimes, and then it takes a year.
Look, this is so easy because all you do is you take the total clicks that you get from your business reports. And then you get the total clicks from your advertising reports. Uh-huh. There is the calculation.
Maybe it's in the future. But on the roadmap.
You can do it a composite for the entire company, entire salary count. You can do it at SKU level because everything is at SKU level. It's a very easy metric. Two metrics, you can put it right on the dashboard, all over the place. It's such a golden metric.
Yeah. You know what? That's an idea then. I'll have to take this when this comes out and give it to our product manager.
Well, you have to invite me to talk about it because I'm going to be.
Yeah, you were right. You have some good ideas.
But listen, for the listeners, guys, everybody listening, do this. Go to your advertising dashboard, download the report. All you need is the number of clicks. Go to your business reports for the same time frame. Download the report at SKU level as well as in total. Number of clicks. You do the math. For every click on advertising paid, how many clicks? That's the ratio. And then track that on weekly basis, monthly basis. That's going to tell you how much of value your paid advertising is bringing you in organic.
From a very high level, absolutely.
Very high level, yes.
But the problem with that is that, like, what can you do with that, right? Because unless you have the keyword, right, that at the keyword level, and all the clicks, right? Unless you have the search terms that are connected to the keyword, it's something that definitely we can actually drill down into.
But you know what it is. So you know you have all these KPIs. So KPIs are things that will tell you are underperforming, overperforming. But before the KPIs comes metrics. Metrics are simply. It's telling you how fast you're going.
Yeah, a data point.
So that, what's your speed? So now here is the thing. What am I going to do if I just know my speed?
Right.
Well, I tell you what you do. Nothing at the time you look at it. But if you look at your speed at the beginning of the journey, then you look at your speed again halfway through. And then another time. So now you've got four of them. That you say, oh, I slowed down. Oh, I'm doing better. I'm going faster, right? That's how you use it. Yeah, it becomes something for you to go by. And of course, you know, as the business owner, you want to look at the big picture. And then you can then direct your team to look into it.
Yeah, so you're tracking a trend. And
right, exactly.
If you see it start to go, I mean, after you've collected for quite some time, if you start to see it go askew, then you know something happened.
Right. Got well, it. It's, you know, we spend a little bit more time, we can come up with more functionality.
Oh, I'm sure. Trust me, PPC is such a broad, you know, topic. Yeah. And then Amazon keeps releasing new features. Speaking of what they just released, sponsored display video ads. So you currently can do sponsored brand video ads, but they just released at Unboxed sponsored display video ads too. So now places where you see sponsored display campaigns, now you're going to have the ability to put video there as well.
And those convert well.
I have a case study that I did with Amazon earlier this year showing that the power of sponsored brand video. Now I need to do a case study of sponsored display video. So I'll be working with some sellers on launching that.
For the listeners' benefit, what's the difference sponsored brand video versus sponsored display video? And where they
So whenever you're searching on Amazon, typically there's one video in the middle of the page, the search results page, right? That's a sponsored brand video. Sponsored brand is a campaign type that you can only get if you're brand registered, along with sponsored display. If you're not brand registered, you can do sponsored product campaigns, and that is your standard campaign where you appear in the search results page, and then also some places on the product detail page. But the video, typically, that's the prime location, is that one placement in the middle of the search result page, and then there's also some placements on product detail pages. You'll see if you're looking through an actual detail page, it'll have like videos of similar products, right? That's become pretty common. Again, that's a sponsored brand campaign position. Sponsored display is the campaign type that you see when you're landing, when you're on a product detail page, right below the buy box, typically, or the featured offer, Amazon's trying to call it now, right below the featured offer, typically there's an ad, right below the bullets of the product, the bullets on the top above the fold, right below the bullets, there's also an ad. On the left-hand side, menu of a detail page, typically there's an ad. So those placements are also going to have the ability to have videos in them. Oh, very soon. God. Yeah. Powerful stuff. So now I have to build out for that. I have to iterate on, you know, what type of videos perform better there? Is it branding? Is it a branding play, or is it maybe a how-to, maybe an instructional video, maybe an unboxing video? So there's all kinds of things that can be done with that type of placement that I'm interested in learning more about.
So of course this would be targeting ASINs, specific yes. ASINs.
Yeah, it's ASIN targeted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or so audience targeting. Audience targeting is another, or remarketing is another sponsored display campaign type. So sponsored display is, it's interesting. Amazon understands the power of the DSP. So it's taking a lot of capabilities of DSP and it's making it available in sponsored display, which is very smart because they know the more people are doing that type of placement, then the more competitive it's going to be, the more money they make.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, I can think of some ideas. For example, you could target some of your competitor ASINs and yep. identify exactly what their weakness is.
Yeah.
And then make a video about it and yeah. stick it under there, just right underneath where the bullets are,
yep.
which is where their video, if they have one, would appear.
Should. Correct. Yep. That's exactly right.
And then
right.
yours would be right next to theirs, telling yeah. you people, mine is better.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if Amazon is, I shouldn't say if Amazon's smart about this, but you know, I can't see them doing a video in a video, under the bullets and under the buy box, who knows, they might do that. They'll probably just pick one of those placements to put a video. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know. I can imagine getting out of control, you know, pretty, sure. pretty quickly if they don't really kind of narrow down the parameters for when that type of video ad will display.
So I have another question for you. Because this is again something that two different strategies. Some people favor one, not the other. Target as many long tail keywords as possible, which come at a much, much more, you know, competitive bid rate.
Yeah.
So don't spend as much. Versus target those short tail keywords. They come with a lot of search volume. They cost a lot more, but in the process, you end up getting more orders
right.
and rank up.
Right.
So one is more ACoS sensitive.
Yes.
The other is more rank sensitive.
Yes.
So give us your take on new launches versus existing listings. Which one makes more sense?
You know, it really depends on the goal, the strategy of the seller. If you're a large brand and budget isn't an issue for you, then yeah, you're going to go after the more specific short tail keywords, more specific keywords that are your actual product, because yeah, the search volume is there. If you've got good margins, then it's fine. You're paying a little bit more because you know it's going to net out to more sales. If you're a smaller seller so I think it's more of a budget question. If you're a smaller seller and you don't have unlimited budget, yeah, your goal is probably going to be more in line with what keywords are out there that I can collect a lot of, right? But are less search volume, but more cost effective, right? To actually bid on. And then collectively, I might be able to get a sufficient sales out of that. So really, to me, it's more of a budget question than it is really anything else. If you've got time and energy, do both strategies, right? If you've got limited budget, focus on the long tail. If you've got unlimited budget, just throw your money into the high search volume keywords. You know, a little bit less work. So it's since Helium 10 mostly deals with newer sellers, SMB type, first to 3 year sellers. What I typically train on is do your keyword research, use Cerebro, use Magnet. And look for, you know, long tail keywords with, you know, 500 minimum search volume per month, 3 words minimum. But, you know, so we do teach that. But at the end of the day, it's up to the seller to decide which strategy they want to go with.
So the other question I have, again, has a difficult answer if there is one, but it's okay. more of a recommendation.
Okay.
When somebody is launching a new listing, how much is enough to allocate to their ad budget? Because, you know, there's another follow-up question to that, but how much should they spend before they can, A, make it worthwhile? Mm-hmm. Because if you spend very little, it's not going to do anything. It's mm-hmm. just waste of money. But if you if you spend too much, it's the early days yet. So what sure. purpose is it going to serve? So what is the nominal amount somebody should budget for
sure.
when they are launching a new listing?
So it really depends on how quickly they want to scale. I do feel like PPC is really good for people out of the gate, but you are going to spend more money, right? Because you don't have any reviews yet. And you're in data collection mode. So number one, when you first launch PPC for a brand new product, what you have to understand is regardless of reviews, you're in data collection mode, right? You're going to run it for 2 to 3 weeks, maybe month maximum. You're going to do your keyword research, right? Like we were talking about, but then you run it and then you definitely want to include your auto campaign or at very least some broad match keywords because you want to see what Amazon is connecting you to, right? Once you have that data set, then you can drill down. If you really want to try to figure out what your budget is going to be, then you can kind of do that by just going in and, you know, creating a campaign, typing some keywords. What's the suggested bid right there, right? Like what is that going to be? And if you calculate, okay, well, I expect to get X amount of clicks per day. All right, well, that's going to cost you X amount of money. So you can kind of extrapolate a budget by doing a little bit of keyword research and seeing what the suggested bids are at that moment in time. But what I like to tell people is if you're super sensitive to price, then maybe launch and then maybe wait until you have at least 10 reviews, right? See if there's anything else that you can do to get people to your website or to your listing, maybe from a website, you know, see if you can get reviews first, because I do definitely think, especially for products that are in a competitive niche, I do definitely see the difference between a launch with 10 reviews and a launch without 10 reviews. You're still in data collection mode, but you're probably going to see a few more sales after you've got the 10 reviews than not. Now, if budget isn't a consideration, if you're not worried about it, that's why I say do it from the start, because PPC is going to be one of the ways that you're going to get the sales. And the more sales you get, the more likely you're going to get some reviews. So you're just doing it faster. So use PPC from the beginning if you want to ramp up really, really quickly, and hold it for maybe a little while until you get some reviews if you're really price sensitive.
So I just heard you mention before you launch PPC, maybe wait to get 10 reviews.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work with the honeymoon period?
Well, the honeymoon period is supposed to help you out just in general, regardless of if you're running PPC. But yeah, if you want to take advantage of the honeymoon period, then you run PPC at the same time, because it's going to increase your likelihood of Amazon showing you for certain keywords. But that doesn't change the fact that the shopper is less likely to, even with the honeymoon period, they're still less likely to convert if you have lower sales. If you know that going in and you're spending that money, this is your marketing budget, you set, you know, $5,000 aside for the first 30 days, then you're fine because you understand you're just in data collection mode. You're still doing a honeymoon period, even if you don't run PPC. It's just Amazon's helping you out organically, right? They're helping you out with placements organically just to kind of get a feel for your product. So the honeymoon period is there regardless of whether or not you're doing PPC. It's just how price sensitive are you? Like how strict is your budget? You know, I'm a PPC guy, so of course I'm going to say run PPC all the time. But if you're super, super, you know, I have to be conscious of some sellers that have come to us, you know, they're super brand new. And although I tell them, you know, expect to lose money. You should expect to lose money when you launch a PPC for a new product. But if that's going to be a real hardship for you, then at a minimum, try to get some reviews in there first, because that is going to improve your likelihood for a conversion. Perfect.
So I have another question that I ask everybody. And I have some recommendations for my clients. I always make recommendations all about setting the right kind of expectations. So I just want to get your take on this. As far as what they can expect in sales on paid ads. I know we talked about total ACoS, but forget that for a sec, because at the beginning, you really cannot expect anything. This is for new sellers launching a new listing.
Right.
So for every dollar they spend, how much should they expect to generate in sales in month one, month two, month three?
Are you talking total sales or just straight
total sales?
Total sales. I mean, it really, that's a loaded question, because it's like, it depends on the product, depends on how competitive it is. It depends on the listing, you know. If they've got a crappy listing, I say zero. So if you're talking about a product listing, it's fully optimized, it's just as good, if not better, than their closest competitor, and their price is good. I would expect if you're running PPC at a decent amount, and you're making sure that your campaigns are just on, they're not out of budget, I mean, you should be seeing at least, I'd say, like five sales a week if you've got the formula down in the first couple of weeks. If you're not seeing at least five sales a week, then I think that there's something seriously wrong, probably with the listing or the product or the price point or... But yeah, that's at a bare minimum that what I would say.
So if we want to translate that into dollars, for every dollar spent in that, my first week is very short. So in their first month, if they spend $1,000 in sales or $5,000 in paid ads.
In paid ads.
How much should they expect to generate in revenue?
That's a good question.
One to one, one to two ratio.
I would say you should be really in the first month, if you get one to two, that's a really good ratio.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I think so. But most people won't. Like, I literally tell sellers to, at least straight from PPC, don't expect a lot of PPC sales at the beginning. You're just in data collection mode. Amazon is still figuring out your product. It's still figuring out which search terms to send to test you, which ASINs to test your product on different detail pages. So, but you need to have some, right? You need to have some sales, and then that sends a signal to Amazon. Oh, okay. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep drilling down this product to the right keywords and the right, or right search terms and the right ASINs. But yeah, I honestly think that a major factor in this, though, is what kind of product it is and how competitive that product is. Like, if you've got a brand new product that no one's ever seen before, it's super niche and it has a really high interest rate, then you should expect to see significantly more sales than someone that's launching an iPhone holder. Right? A case. Because those are, you can throw a stick and hit someone that's selling an iPhone case.
Yeah.
That number, like, I would say, don't expect to sell for 3 months.
Yeah. So provided that, so this is what I recommend usually as expectations, because, you know, people can do this, they need to set aside a budget, they don't know what to expect. So what I tell them is, first of all, an optimized listing is key. You have to make sure that you've done your keyword research, you've built your content based on those keywords, and you have great product pictures, great video, you've got all that.
A+ content, if you have it.
Yeah, A+ content, absolutely, it's a must. And as long as you have that content in place and you've got a good product it's a niche and it has demand and it's competitively priced, not necessarily cheapest, but offers great value, packs and things like that. So all that is an assumption that is already going to be in place. If you do this, I tell them month one, spend every dollar you spend on paid ads, mm-hmm. expect to generate a dollar in revenue. Mm-hmm. Month two, by the end of month two, for every dollar you spend in advertising, expect to generate $2 in revenue.
Two to one.
Mm-hmm. Month three, by the end of month three, expect to generate between $3 to $4 for every dollar you spend in advertising. And from that point on, now you have 3 months of data. And right. if you've done the job the right way, right mm-hmm. way means that whatever keywords you identified for yourself, you centered your PPC campaigns around that. So by the time that month three is over, you hopefully got some Amazon Choice badge on those.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of reviews and everything. Mm-hmm. So 1-to-1, 1-to-2, and 1-to-3/4 by month mm-hmm. three.
Yeah.
With the expectation that when you launch, you're going to spend at least $3,000 to $5,000 in budget and then yeah. ramp that up on month two and three.
Yeah.
What do you think about this formula?
No, that's great. I mean, you just heard me say before that, you know, I always say 5,000.
Yeah.
Expect to throw in 5,000 in your first month. Expect to break even or be at a loss at the end of that 30 days.
Well, hold on. We need a clarification because sellers yeah. here, it's break even. You know what they are hearing, right?
What are they hearing?
They are hearing that they generated revenue, which will pay the merchandise. It will pay the Amazon.
No, yeah. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying yes. is literally 1-to-1 potentially. You spent $5,000 on advertising, and if you're lucky, you also made $5,000 in sales. But that's net zero. You're break even. But yeah, exactly. True break even means you're calculating your fees and right. your shipping and right. your manufacturing costs and everything like that. So, I was talking about break even at ACoS earlier today. Like that is truly what people. Too many sellers don't even know what their break even ACoS is.
Really? Oh my
yes.
God.
Yeah, good point.
So, Vince, before we wrap up, anything yeah. else you want to mention about Atomic? Because we understand the value of it and how to really leverage it. So,
Dayparting is one of the features, the visibility into your keyword and organic ranking. Again, I'm not here to hard sell anybody on this. It's literally just something that I took my 3.5 years worth of helping Amazon sellers with their PPC. And I built a tool around it. So, you know, if people are listening, if they're still managing their PPC manually, I feel your pain. it can be very time consuming. And so, you know, I really do think people would benefit from looking at third-party tool. I mean, there's lots of great tools out there, right? So, but, you know, working with Helium 10 is for our users is great because it's a whole suite of tools, right? It's not just, you know, the Adtomic, it's the Cerebra, like you were mentioning, and the Magnet and the keyword I mentioned. So it's really a whole suite. My goal is to try to get them to talk to each other more, right? And so that we're doing things that are related to PPC, that they're actually in our PPC tools. That's one of my goals. And we're moving in that direction, right? We're moving into new features like the day parting and using Stream. And we're going to be building that out even more and more over the next year. So, you know, if people haven't heard of Helium 10, number one, they should look that up and check out Helium 10 because we do have really good solutions for Amazon sellers.
Vince, for listeners' benefit, yeah. when your episode airs right on our website on its page, right underneath your video, there yeah. will be an opportunity for people to sign up for Helium 10.
Oh, great.
And obviously, naturally, Atomic with special coupons that Helium 10 gave Argometrics. So perfect. They'll be able to take advantage of that. So I would encourage everybody, but as you watch this episode, if you are listening to the episode, just go to the argometrics.com website and then pull up Vince's episode right underneath his video. You will be able to sign up right there and then and get
that's taken. Great.
So Vince, enough with the business talk. So let's not get a little bit. So tell us, I want to take you all the way back and then learn about, you know, what your life experience is like.
Sure.
That brought you here. So tell us, where did you grow up?
Southern California, born and raised. So I was born in LA. And then, we moved around a little bit, but I lived abroad. I was in London for 2.5 years, right before the last big recession, 2008. I was running a digital advertising company there. And other than my 2.5 years in London, I'm a SoCal boy.
So what took you to London?
It was the job. Literally, it was, at that time I had been in digital marketing for 3 years. And it was at the time when there was a lot of partnerships happening. Like when you go on somebody's website and you buy something, and then there was the offers that came on the thank you page, like similar products, like you might be interested in this. So that was a new feature. And we basically launched that. It was called co-registration. So we launched co-registration pages in London with the company that I was working with. So I got to move over there and find all the partners to collaborate with, and then, create the thank you pages on all the different websites. And it was great. It was a great experience.
So how did you get into digital marketing in the first place?
I was, I literally just answered an ad at the time. My previous experience was retail and banking. And I just answered an ad in the Times, I think. And it was a company that was pretty new, and it was doing affiliate marketing. So it was an affiliate marketing company, and it was all digital. And so I learned it pretty quickly. And then I started doing email. We started doing email marketing. And then from there, that's when I went to London to this co-registration. Basically from there, it's just from that one job when I think I was like 30 years old.
What was the reason that you became interested in digital marketing to apply for this job?
Because it was, it was new. It was like the new thing. It was the newfangled thing. I always had an interest in marketing, and which is why I do that primarily here now. I always had an interest in it, in talking about, what gets people interested in something. What makes people interested in buying one thing over another thing. It was something that I had always been kind of interested in. So when I saw that opportunity to join that company, I jumped at it.
Is it the money-making aspect, or is it the capability to change somebody's mind?
Yeah, no, it was never the money-making aspect. If it was money-making aspect, I never would have come here 3 years ago. I would have had my own PPC agency by now. But it's never been about the money for me. It's always been about either helping people or understanding people more. In school, my major was psychology. So if that gives you an idea.
Okay, because that's what I'm trying to get to. You see, in my business organization, I belong to a business organization, and then we have these different drills to, for example, present on a difficult subject, and you get assigned a coach. Okay. The coach is not coaches. Anybody in the group can be a coach, but you also get trained to be a coach. So when you're coaching a presenter, we say that the rule is you ask the question why 7 times. To get to the root cause of it. So that's what that's what I'm trying to do with you.
But why? So
why did you apply? What took you to London? Because I applied for a job. Then why did you apply? And because it was new. Then why are you interested in new? So now the next why is, why is it that psychology is interesting to you?
Honestly, I just kind of always have been fascinated by, I guess, why people do things that they do. And that includes myself too. It's like, why did I make one decision over another decision? What influences out there, whether it be environmental or people around you? I grew up in a fairly religious household, and so there was always I was always being asked why there too, but it was always this kind of community think, like when you go to church, you're supposed to all think the same things. And so I always found that fascinating. So I would literally be that person in church, but well, why? But but why so do we think this? Why do we do that?
is it the question about the purpose? So you are kind of conditioned to look for the purpose in doing something.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Because I mean, if you are into spirituality, it's yeah. usually about the purpose, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I just went to Peru. I was just in Peru 2 weeks ago, and I went there to number one to see Machu Picchu. Actually, that's not number one. Number one was to see Lake Titicaca, because I'm doing this. I read up on things like chakras and things like that. Your seven chakras and the centers and energy centers of your body. Well, there's also seven chakras of the planet. So last year I went to the root chakra, which is Mount Shasta here in California. So I was lucky. And then 2 weeks ago I was in Peru, because that's the second chakra of the planet. So I'm very, I wouldn't call it spirituality, but maybe it is. But yeah, I'm very interested in purpose, like you're saying.
Yeah. You know, as it happens, one of the things that I advocate for, one thing that I always do when I start working with my clients, I say, look, the worst thing that can happen to you is you become successful in building the operation. Right. And you built the whole thing by yourself. And right. now you need help. First of all, it's not going to happen. No, you yeah. can't do things all by yourself. You need people. But let's Absolutely. Assume it does. You are going to want to have somebody else do it for you, do mm-hmm. the things, because you built the machinery. Well, guess what? It's not going to happen unless you have a playbook.
Right.
So I have a whole methodology to build a playbook. Well, guess what the first requirement is? Define the purpose,
of the
individual task. Because I say people these days are drawn to shiny objects. What do I click? What do I go? Where do I go? You know, it's all about, yeah. you know, they land on a page, they scroll right down without looking right. at what's at the top. So all these yeah. things, don't worry about all this. That's yeah. the first question that they ask. It's not important. Mm-hmm. Especially in this country, people are very smart. They'll figure mm-hmm. out how to do things. That's the how.
Yeah.
Focus on the why.
Why?
Why is the first. Define the purpose, and then define, you know, what it is, just one yeah. single sentence, and then the rest will take care of itself. It's so helpful. I am yeah. always focused on purpose. And there you are, your focus on purpose of things
yeah.
to build a great product.
Yeah.
And now leading the product marketing at
yeah.
Helium.
Yeah.
So anybody exactly. listening, guys, keep asking why, because you'll get to where Vince is today.
You'll eventually get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Vince. This was great. So tell us, how can people reach you?
If people want to reach out to me, I mean, if they're Helium 10 members, I'm on all the social media feeds all the time talking to people. So just look up my name, Vince Montero. LinkedIn, I'm also there, I think, under Vincent Montero. People can reach out to me. I get, very interesting. I always love hearing from people. They got very interesting topics. They got things they want me to cover in some of the training sessions. So yeah, if anyone wants to reach out to me and connect and has ideas for topics or features, maybe they heard your feature idea and that inspired them. I'm always interested in hearing those things.
Great. Thank you, Vince. This was great. And, I can't wait to get my hands on Atomic a little bit with the day parting. And anybody needs anything, they'll be able to reach you. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And
this brings us to the end of another episode, and I'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Be sure and subscribe, rate, and review our show. And be sure and share an episode with a friend. And thank you so much for being with us today. We'll see you next week here on Amazon Legends.